You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
I'm Sam Tweedle.
Chris Gilpin.
Hey, and here we are.
All right.
Hey Kids Comics, I just found out you were going to say it. You said it.
Say what?
Well, what you were about to say.
What? Do you know what I was going to say?
I think so.
Well, you say it first in case you don't.
All right. So you were about to say that this is our final show until the break.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, wah, yeah. Wah. You know how I knew that?
No.
Because I'm like Jean Grey, man.
You are, yes.
I am. I have telekinesis powers. Yeah. Isn't telekinesis where you can move things with your mind?
Okay. Telepathic
powers. Okay. I'm an empath.
Although Gene is both, but that's fine.
Okay. Well, anyways, okay. So.
Pyrokinesis. There's lots of kinesises.
Lots of kinesises.
Many kinesises.
All right. Well, anyways, this is the last show until the break. And
we won't be back until late September.
Wow, that's going to be a long time.
Sure is.
Wow, so we got a lot.
Fan Expo talk.
We should talk about some Fan Expo tonight.
We'll have more to talk about.
Well, yeah, it's going to be great. But we have a lot to talk about tonight, don't we?
I should have my restraining order from Arthur Adams by then.
Bazam! Oh, man, I expect by the time I arrive on... I will be arriving to Toronto on the Thursday night. I'm skipping Thursday, but I'm coming to Toronto Thursday night. And I fully expect you to be banned by the time I get there.
Yep.
Yes.
I'm driving up early Thursday morning. Probably going to the brother and sister-in-law's to park my car and getting on the GO train to go back and get in line to get in.
Yeah.
That'll be about 6 a.m. when I get in line.
You're getting in line at 6 a.m. Are you really? No. Well, knowing you, I wouldn't put it past you for a moment.
I will be early at the premium entrance on the south side, because all the artists are in the south building usually.
Yeah.
So I'll be going. I'm not going all the way up to the around and about and down. I'm going to go right to the south entrance and just go from there.
You're going to be the first one in line.
I'm going to stand in line. I don't care what time he's due.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And he's going to see you and he's going to be, oh, man. All right. Well, let's talk about our Fan Expo plans. Dan, do you have plans this year to go to Fan Expo?
I do have plans to go to Fan Expo.
Yeah.
I'm probably just going to go up for the Saturday.
Okay.
That's my plans.
Oh, that's great.
Right now. Yeah, I think
that's the only day I'm not planning on going.
Oh, perfect.
So. No, I won't be there. I'm pretty sure I'm only going to attend Friday and Sunday. I may go for a little bit in the morning on Saturday, depending on.
Do you have the
what
weekend
else?
Pass?
I do. I'm a very lucky individual. I'm excited about this year's Fan Expo.
Is this what you were talking? Are you going to
tell us that
something different?
Okay. I'll get into it. So I'm very excited about this Fan Expo. I haven't gone to Fan Expo. I did go last year for a little bit, but I haven't gone fully for 4 or 5 years now because it's not my favorite convention. I find I'm old. I am a middle-aged man, and I find it hard on my body, hard on my patience.
Yeah.
I'm just not as young and as I used to be when I first started going, and I just find it very difficult on me. So I've stopped going and choosing smaller conventions like Niagara and Hamilton and the Spring Comic Con. Winter Comic Con in Toronto. Those are more my speed. Why Fan Expo is a behemoth,
yeah,
which I can't handle.
Yeah,
but this year my probably my best friend in California, a woman by the name of Carol Summers, is coming to Toronto because she has booked two of her, what she does now as she's retired, and she books celebrities into autograph shows all over. And she has, she represents Keir Delay and Gary Lockwood from 2001 A Space Odyssey. And they're actually in Boston this week, right now, this weekend. And she's been booking them all over North America and also in Europe and Australia for the 50th anniversary of 2001 A Space Odyssey. I worked with Gary and Carol and Gary and Keir when they were in Toronto for TIFF's Kubrick's convention a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Or not Kubrick convention, Kubrick exhibit. But anyways, Carol's going to be here. I haven't seen her since for quite a few years. I'm very excited to... So no matter what I was doing, I was going to go for down for 4 days while she's in Peterborough, in Toronto, right? Just to spend some time with my very dear friend. However, Ken Wheaton has stepped up and he's giving me a 4-day exhibitor pass. And we're going to be staying at the Royal York, which I'm really excited about, for 4 days. And I can kind of come and go as I want through the back door, avoiding the lines. Yeah. I'm not planning on doing any autographs because there's not really anybody that I want their autographs. For me, it's really just going to be about hanging out with my friends, being in Toronto for a few days, doing Artist Alley. There's a couple of things I'm looking to buy. When I was at Toronto Comic Con in the spring, I saw a t-shirt with the Creeper on it. Hmm. You know the Creeper?
Yeah.
And I didn't buy it because I thought the price was stupid. Yeah. But I've been thinking about it ever since. So I'm hoping
thinking about all those Creeper shirts you've seen?
No, just that one.
Like, because there is only one.
Yeah, I know. Right? And like, I really, really want it. So I'm looking for that. There's a couple of pop vinyls I'm looking for that I haven't been able to track down that are out. So I'm going to hopefully get those. But I'm really excited. Yeah. Not for Fan Expo, just but the people that are going to be there. Spending some time with Carol, spending some good quality time with Ken, Dan Fernando, Giselle, you know, Leonard Kirk and Andrew Thomas and Kevin. And to me, it's really going to be about that more than anything this time around. Yeah. Oh, and seeing Gary and Kira again, because I'm pretty sure I'll probably be able to spend a little bit of time with them. So.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm really excited. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think I'll go Saturday. I think I'll spend Saturday trying to visit some of my other friends in Toronto that day, because Saturday is always a gong show.
Yeah. Saturday is the busy day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I might go in for a little bit in the morning, but yeah, I'll probably, actually I have a concert to go to Saturday night. I'm pretty excited about. So, yeah, I'll be doing that. But yeah, it's going to be a good time. Lots of visits to the Spaghetti Factory.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So what are your other plans? You're going Saturday. Let me ask, before I get back to you, I never finished Dan. Dan, what is your the big thing you're excited about seeing at Fan Expo?
I'm not excited about anything specifically.
Oh.
Like, Fan Expo has just become sort of like a thing I try to do every year.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing that you are doing, except, like, you know, just hitting up the Artist Alley and seeing the guys that I haven't seen for 6 months or 8 months, you know, chatting with all the guys and, you know, maybe make a few new friends.
Oh, see, that's great. That's what Fan Expo, that's what Comic-Con should be about.
This year, though, I'm going to try to rub elbows a little bit at the Chapter House table.
All right.
Since I've got the True Patriot coming digitally to Comixology August 18th.
Very cool. I love seeing the images of that.
Yeah, so maybe I'll be like, hey guys, I'm one of you now. Let me back there.
Where's my seat?
You see, like, Andrew Thomas leans over four chairs like, there's no room.
Keep walking.
Now, I know it's all about Arthur Adams with you, but what else are you planning on? Are you buying the $1,000 Back to the Future ticket?
No.
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 So Thursday is Arthur Adams and shopping. Before it gets insane.
Mm-hmm.
But number one priority, right to Arthur.
Oh my God, if you see that Creeper shirt on Thursday.
A Creeper shirt, I'll look for it.
Oh, actually, you know what? There is an exclusive something that I want. And if I could get you to pick that up for me on the Thursday, I'll pay you back.
Okay.
But we can talk about that later.
All right.
All right.
So after,
I could give you the money before you go.
Yeah.
That's what I'll do. Okay.
So, I mean, obviously I can't get an original sketch because it's weight. That's fine.
How much is he charging?
Last I heard it was like $500 for a headshot.
Oh, come on, man. It's only $500 for a head. Yeah. Who would you get? Who would you have him do?
I was thinking of a nice Kitty Pryde.
Oh, man. You got to do it.
Yeah. Well,
look, just take $500 off of your wedding, the top of your wedding.
Yeah.
Right? Like, is there something like, I don't know, how much is the cake?
Yeah.
How much is the cake? Is it $500?
Oh, probably.
But
no cake.
Just
no cake. My mom will make you a cake. All
just
right.
Send Christine on the honeymoon by herself.
There you go.
I'll make you a cake. No, seriously, I'll make you the cake. You can get the Arthur Adams head sketch.
It's unfortunately not going to happen. But
why?
I want to meet him. That's my priority. Uh-oh. And I'm going to buy some prints. I've got a couple comics, maybe two or three to get signed, and some of the prints he's been putting out. That's the priority. And meeting him. That's again my picture with him, hopefully.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's great. I think you should get his head sketch.
I think
else are you going to get it?
Never. But that's fine. It is what it is. So after that, it's just wandering, talking, shopping. Mm-hmm. And then Friday, as soon as the doors open, I'm going to Leah Thompson's
line. Nice.
You know, longest crush ever, even before Jennifer Connelly is Leah Thompson. So I got to do it.
That's great, man.
So, and after that, it's more shopping. And probably Saturday, I was thinking about going back for the Back to the Future panel, but probably just do some other shopping, you know, around town on my way home.
Yeah. Any ideas what Marty's plans are?
Last I heard, he was driving up and back. I'm not sure how many days, but
okay.
That's last I heard.
That's last you heard, eh? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So.
All right.
So. Sam, I know you're a big Degrassi fan.
I am.
Did you see all the Degrassi people that are going to be
there?
Yeah, they announced
it. Oh my God. Who do we have there?
So two old guys and four new guys.
All right, I see. There's Snake.
Yeah.
Who's the other old guy? Oh, Joey.
And then four of the new ones.
Oh, I don't know who they are. I don't watch the new ones.
Who's the girl? Her name?
This girl?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll click the link. I should know because we looked at it last week.
Okay.
Emma.
Oh, she played...
His daughter.
Well, actually what it was is in the original Degrassi Junior High, Spike, who was the girl with the hair, she got pregnant by Shane. But then Shane took some acid and fell off a bridge and got permanent brain damage. And Emma was her daughter, was the baby that was born in Degrassi Junior High, who became the original character. I tried to watch the first season, and I just... It was too slick, man.
Yeah.
It was just too slick. The people could actually act. The clothes weren't from their own closet. They looked like a bunch of teen models. Why? There was no pimples. Yeah. It just wasn't the same, man. I just couldn't get into it.
See, it's funny, because like Tabitha's a big fan of Degrassi, the next generation.
Huh.
And so I've seen... I did not watch a single episode growing up. Not a single episode. I was like in between, like it was off air, whatever.
I was obsessed every Monday at 7 o'clock on CBC.
But I've seen so many.
Yes.
I've seen so many episodes and heard so many stories about the episodes from her.
So have you seen the old, has she watched the original series?
Yep.
She's watched it, okay. I really, you know, really, in season two and season three, they really tried to start bringing back storylines from the original. And I tried. God knows I tried. But I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't get into it. I really tried. On my bucket list, and you know what? Maybe I'll do this on Saturday. I've never been to Degrassi Street.
Yeah.
So I'd like to go, and I'd like to find the school where they originally shot. It's still used as a real school. I'd like to go see the school. Maybe this is time to do it, because I think it'd be better that a 44-year-old man shows up at a high school during the summer when nobody can see him than showing up during the school season. All right, because that's an episode of Degrassi all its own. You know?
Yeah. I'm here looking for Lucy. And the twins.
They have the complete series of the original Degrassi for like $40 at Sunrise. So
no, do you know how much I paid for it?
A lot more than that.
A lot more than that.
Yeah,
because I bought it season by season. It was like literally $50 a season when I bought it.
Yeah, don't you hate when that happens?
Oh man,
yeah. Shell out like a sucker, and then it all gets released for less than what you would have paid for one.
God, that's brutal. Who are we looking at there?
This is Cassie Steele.
Who is she?
I don't know.
Is she from what?
I'll get yelled at. She's from, Degrassi, The Next Generation.
Means nothing to me.
But she also is the voice of Tammy in Rick and Morty.
Oh!
Oh, there you go.
So, oh, look at that.
But it doesn't
say
what her character in Degrassi is, which is hilarious.
I do. There is one actress from the new Degrassi that I've met on several occasions and I'm a big fan of, and her name is Paula Brancati.
Yeah.
I don't know who she played on Degrassi, but that's kind of where she became big. But she was on a show that I became obsessed with from on CBC called Chasing Amy? No, that was a movie.
That was Kevin Smith.
Oh, my God. What was it called?
I don't know.
It wasn't Chasing Amy. It was such a good show. I can I can see it all in my head. Oh, Being Erica.
Oh,
Being Erica. Loved Being Erica. And Paula Brancati was on that. And I had a huge crush on her on that show. And then she was a Degrassi kid.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I got to watch it around Degrassi fans, though, because, I look exactly like Drake. And every time I go to a Degrassi, The Next Generation type thing, I get confused by Drake and I get mobbed.
Right. Have we talked about Drake's new music video yet?
No, I know.
It's all about Degrassi.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you should check it out. I don't even know what the song is.
It's not all about me being confused for Drake. It's like Drake going, oh, that Sam Tweedle guy.
It happens
all the time.
It's all just about Degrassi and stuff. And I think some of the actors and stuff are in it and whatnot. Really?
Because I've heard that he doesn't even like talking about it.
I don't know. Maybe he changed his mind. Maybe Degrassi finally got cool enough for him to be like, no, it's okay. I do.
All right. So
It's apparently the Degrassi. Do you know the Degrassi storyline that Drake gets shot during a school shooting?
No.
His character gets shot and ends up in a wheelchair because of a school shooting. And in his video, he's chasing the guy who shot him. And
gets shot again?
No, but apparently some people who are American and don't watch Degrassi thought he was just trying to do some thing about gun violence when really it was just more of a revenge for his character.
Oh,
right. Okay.
Well, anyway,
that's an interesting
thing. Would love to run into Pat Mastrani again. Every time we run into each other, he always remembers me as long as I'm wearing my hat. If I'm not wearing my hat, he'll totally not know who I am. So I probably won't recognize me because I doubt I'll be wearing my hat that weekend.
Yeah.
Well, you just have to wear your hat and he'll be there.
I don't want to bring my
hat. Like they're only going to be there Thursday and Friday.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be there Friday. So maybe it could happen. That's fantastic. Yeah. So I haven't been here since San Diego. And did you guys talk about all the trailers, the movie trailers? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you guys
We didn't really talk about movie trailers, did we?
A little bit.
Okay. You know which one I am so excited about?
Godzilla.
I finally saw the trailer this week. I'm a fan of the old Godzilla movies from the 60s and the 70s. I did like the last Godzilla movie. I thought it was pretty fun. Was I crazy about it? No.
That's with Bryan Cranston. Right?
Yeah.
His wife. And
I liked it.
Yeah.
I didn't run out and buy it. I didn't see it a second time, but I liked it. But the new Godzilla trailer? Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. It's so big and it's so exciting and it's so dramatic. But what's really freaking me out is the fact that, and it's, everybody knows this, is who they're bringing into the film series. Rodan.
Yeah.
Is it Gamora or Gamesha or
something like
Gamera. It's pronounced Gamera.
He's the turtle.
No, that's Gemma.
No.
Okay.
Gamera's the turtle.
Okay, who's the three-headed dragon?
I don't know.
Okay, the three-headed dragon who starts with a G, and it's G-H something. And my absolute favorite Japanese monster, Mothra. Mothra is coming to the big screen. And you know what that means, my friends? Mothra merchandise. That is what that means.
Yeah.
If they put Mothra on it, I will buy it. Take my money now. I'll tell you. I am so excited. I only saw the trailer finally this week. And I'm so excited about this film. When is it coming out? It's in 2019, right?
Yeah.
No idea.
All right. Well, anyways, sign me up, man. I'm all in and ready to go.
I actually haven't ever seen a Godzilla movie.
Oh, no?
I own the original one. I bought it as a Criterion Collection a couple months ago.
Gojira.
Yeah.
Okay. Gojira is brilliant. What I would suggest you do is watch the American version first.
Yeah.
With Raymond Burr. Okay? Then watch the Japanese version. And I'm going to tell you why. Is because when you see that the Japanese version of it, you will never want to watch the American one again. The Japanese version is such a critical masterpiece.
Yeah.
But, and it's a cinematic piece of beauty when none of the other Japanese monster movies were. It's the only one that can actually be called real good cinema. But the Americans just edited it to death because it was a comment against the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Yeah. And that's what it was. There was a lot of commentary, and there's these incredible scenes of Tokyo being destroyed, but then all the people, like the survivors, trying to pull out of Tokyo and trying to walking around the country homeless and all the devastation. And it really was kind of like, this is what happened in these cities after the bomb, and all that's cut out, and it's so beautiful, like and moving. So
the cutout version is beautiful and moving, or the original version?
The original. I'm talking about the original. All that was cut out, like all the stuff. It wasn't anti-American, but it was like it. You know, the things that
they just didn't want to remind the world of what happened.
Yeah, that we destroyed Japan. You know, it was war, but you know they don't want to remind. Yeah, so they cut all that. Like, I think they cut out close to an hour of the film, and then they shot American scenes with Raymond Burr and spliced those in.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's why I say watch the American version first, because once you watch the Japanese version, you'll never want to watch the American version again.
I mean, I just might never watch the American version.
I like the American version for what it is. I have a nostalgia of it from my childhood.
Yeah.
But when I saw Gojira as an adult, it blew my mind on just how good. It's also interesting to see and compare what they used as well.
Yeah.
And I thought Matthew Broderick did a great job.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen that one.
I didn't see that one. You know why? Because because Godzilla looked like a lizard, not a stegosaurus on,
I enjoyed it.
Did you?
I thought it was fun.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
Right.
My favorite's always been Mothra, though. I love Mothra. Mothra is this big slug that turns into a moth, and then it's Mothra. Yeah. But more than that, what it is Mothra is like a real music fan, because it's about how these explorers find this pair of like small like Japanese women like that are about this small, and they're twins, and they sing.
Oh.
And when they capture these, you know, they capture them, they bring them to this mad evil scientist captures.
They're like fairies or something?
Well, they're kind of like fairies, but they're not. They don't have wings. They're just small. They find them on an island. And the scientist takes him back to Tokyo and makes him perform. And he's basically exploiting them, you know, like look at those small little the women, and they sing, and you know, and he keeps them in a cage, and they have this thing where they can sing, and it basically brings Mothra and Mothra isn't just attacking Tokyo because she's a bitch. She's attacking Tokyo, and they do establish somewhere that Mothra is female, because she lays eggs.
Okay.
Mothra is attacking Tokyo to save her girls.
Right.
Okay, like, because she loves their music, and they're being held captive, and they're like, so they can signal Mothra, and Mothra is like, and like basically destroys Tokyo. It's fantastic.
So Mothra, Rodan, and King Ghidorah.
Ghidorah. That's the three-headed dragon. Yeah, that's the three-headed dragon. That's a cool movie, too. So,
and apparently Godzuki. No,
Godzuki's not. I know all the words to that, eh?
Yeah.
Up from the depth, 30 stories high, prehistoric head in the sky. Godzilla, and Godzuki.
Say, Dan, you know what we're talking about?
I do not.
Godzilla actually had a 1970s animated series.
Was it the 70s? No, it was 80s.
It was 70s. Late 70s, early 80s. It was Hanna-Barbera. And of course, they had to like have a cute, funny,
small version
of Godzilla. Yeah. And it was Godzuki. You can watch it on YouTube. It's fantastic. It was on after school as a kid. I loved it.
Oh yeah,
it's so great.
Cartoons just aren't the same as.
And then talking about 1970, is it? Do you think it's safe to announce this?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. I believe it was publicly announced.
You didn't even know this existed.
It was mildly publicly announced, but by the time the show gets aired, I believe, that it will be officially announced. So,
September 23rd, I think?
I believe that's the date.
Peterborough Comic Con is coming back. Pop Culture Canada, David Wallstar. We had a great guest last year with, last time with the fellow from The Crow and Bei Ling. We're both there. Very exciting. But who's the guy who writes The Crow? James O'Barr.
Yes.
But the guest this year for, the guest for Peterborough Comic Con is blowing my mind so much. I'm so excited because he's a star of a show I loved so much as a kid, and I own the complete series on DVD. Jackson Bostwick. Who is Jackson Bostwick, you might ask? Well, he is the second man ever to wear the red and yellow costume of Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Shazam, in the 1970s live-action Filmation TV series. That's right. Jackson Bostwick will be here. And that is something very exciting, and anybody who loves 1970s nostalgia should be excited about this.
Are you going to pay to get his autograph?
Yes! I am going to pay to get his autograph. I'm going to pay to get my picture taken with him. I'm going to take him to lunch, if I can. Or I'll buy him lunch. I'll just show up with like a Harvey's burger. Here you go, Jackson Bostwick. Just enjoy Canadian hamburger. You know, I am so excited about this. Now, Dan, you don't remember the series.
No, I've
Chris, did you ever see the series?
It has some memories kind of in my head.
Oh my God, it was brilliant. But it wasn't brilliant. It's kind of terrible.
Oh, yeah.
But it's brilliantly terrible. Like, I loved it as a kid. And when I resaw it for the first time as an adult when it came out on DVD, I was just amazed by how not good it was. But that made it even better than I remembered it. I loved each and every episode I watched. So basically, this is the premise. They kind of take the premise of Captain Marvel that we know from the comics and just sort of throw it away.
It's, yeah.
Now, a little bit of background. Why did Captain Marvel come back in the 1970s? Captain Marvel came back in the 1970s really, really, really strong. And does anybody know why?
But did they have a comic series in the 70s?
They did, but, yeah. But okay, so back in the 1940s, Superman was DC Comics.
Yeah.
And Captain Marvel was published by Fawcett Publications. Yep. And it got to the point where Captain Marvel was outselling Superman. Like, the popularity of Captain Marvel was massive. We don't kind of always remember that, but it was. It was one of the best-selling comics, and it had so many spin-offs. It had Captain Marvel Jr., Mary Marvel, there was the Marvel Family comic, there was Hoppy the Marvel Bunny. Like, it was a huge franchise. And DC Comics got kind of pissy about it because it was outselling, so they went and they sued Fawcett.
Yeah.
And said, this is too close to our character. Now, if you really look at it, it's kind of not. Like, Captain Marvel and Superman, they kind of have similar powers, I guess, but their costumes are different and their origins are extremely, extremely different. In my opinion, Captain Marvel is a whole different creation. Well, what happened was DC won the lawsuit, which meant that Fawcett had to discontinue Captain Marvel just after the war, and it killed Fawcett Comics. Like, Fawcett had some other pretty cool characters. They had Spy Smasher, they had Ibis the Invincible. Oh, they had Spy Smasher and Ibis the Invincible, but it killed Fawcett Comics. So throughout the 50s and 60s, like the 50s, of course, wasn't a very superhero type era and there was no Captain Marvel during the 1960s. But in the 1970s, what happened was DC Comics purchased the rights of the entire stable of Fawcett comic characters. Okay, so now, in the complete irony of the whole situation, they own Captain Marvel, and they're like, you know what? And this was about 1971, 72. They're like, you know what? We're gonna bring him back. And not only did they bring, now that they have this franchise, they didn't just bring it back in comics. And there is a Shazam number one, which, God, I used to have, and I hope I still do, but I may have sold it to Marty, where they bring him back and they explain that all of Captain Marvel's friends and family were put into a rocket and were in suspended animation from the end of the 40s to the 1970s. Okay. And that's why they all were.
That's why he disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody, like absolutely all his friends and villains and everybody all come out and they're all fine. And
that's how you do a reboot.
That's how you do a reboot. So, they put together a live action TV series. They had an animated series. Filmation basically bought the rights. I think Hanna-Barbera owned Superman. No, Hanna-Barbera owned Batman and Superman before Hanna-Barbera, but somehow it got relicensed to Hanna-Barbera, and then Filmation took over the Captain Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
And so the TV series came out. Now, in the Captain Marvel TV series, there is no... It's completely different than the comic. First of all, there's no supervillains. At no point does Captain Marvel actually fight crime or villains. Black Adam's not in it. Mr. Mind's not in it. Dr. Savannah's not in it. It's basically... So basically what it is Billy Batson, played by Michael Gray... And Mentor, played by Russ Tremaine, who I think is supposed to be Shazam the Wizard, but he has no magical powers, travel around California in a souped-up RV. And then the gods contact Billy Batson. The gods, Solomon, Hercules, Atlas, Zeus, Apollo, and Mercury, which spell out Shazam. And they come and they go, and he goes, what do you need? And he goes, today you will meet somebody who has problems believing in themselves and will be undergoing peer pressure. You may judge them at that moment, but it's up to you, Billy, to make sure they get along on the wise path. Just like, and then they do like some kind of author, just like C.S. Lewis said... Be brave, and it's the lions here or something. So anyways, and so he goes back, and he's like, and then they meet some 1970s, very 1970s teenager that's getting up to no good. They could be into drugs. They could be staying past their curfew. They could be stealing cars. They could be, you know, run away from home. It could be like... You know, there was two seasons of this. So they basically would find some teenagers that were up to no good. And Billy would try to, like, reason with them. He wouldn't just turn into Captain Marvel right away because you got to do that at the end of the episode. But he would try to reason with me, try to, like, say, you know what, Sally, you shouldn't run away from home with your boyfriend because, you know, your mom really loves you. And, you know, going away with this biker gang is probably a really bad idea. So anyways, finally, you know, crap gets real. And the kids are in danger, and so Billy goes, Shazam! And he turns into Jackson Bostwick.
Yeah.
All right, Jackson Bostwick in a very unconvincing green screen. Jackson Bostwick, by the way, did all his own stunts in a very unconvincing green screen, goes, saves the day, gives the kids a stern yet fatherly warning about what happened, and that's the end of the episode. Or so one would think. Then comes my favorite part of the episode, where Shazam reiterates the lesson you've just learned to the audience and teaches you a lesson. So this is, it goes something like this. He goes, "Hi," and he does that. Like, he does that first thing. His same episode. It's like he doesn't open his teeth. And he goes, "Hi." So every episode, he goes, "Hi." Today we met some young people that thought it was a really good idea to be flicking matches at kids, but but it's not, because not only do you burn other people, but you also burn yourself. See you next week. And he flies off, right? You know, and it could be anything. It was like, "Hi, this week we met some people that got their thrills off of stealing cars and go joyriding, but really it's not as cool. Because when you steal cars, all you're really doing is stealing yourself. See you next week." I freaking love that part. But my favorite part, then, when I think of Jackson Bostwick, I just think of that. "Hi." I really hope I can get him to say that. You know, I just want to hear it.
"Hey.
Hi." I want him to put that on the autograph. "Hi." I don't even know if that's a word. It's more like a noise. It's like, "Hey." But trivia quiz. How many people put on the Captain Marvel costume? How many actors in television have played Captain Marvel? Can you guys, or movies? Do you know?
Including animated?
No. Just live action.
I know of two.
I'm going to guess four.
Five.
Okay.
It was five. So there's Tom Tyler, who was the first one to play him, and he played him in the movie serial.
Yep.
Which is one of the best movie serials ever made. And then Jackson Bostwick was the number two. And now Jackson Bostwick got fired from the
trick
series.
Trick question.
Right? He got fired from the series in the second episode of the second season. And he was replaced with some other guy. Now, he sued Filmation, and he won, actually. And he was paid for all the remainder of the second series. Right? He apparently had hurt himself doing a stunt and had to go to the hospital because he freaking hurt himself. And when he didn't show up on set the next day because he was in the hospital because he'd hurt himself, they fired him. And he's like, all like, whoa, time out.
He's like, hey, you might think it's a great idea to fire your actors, but you're really just firing yourself.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Exactly. So anyways. And then there was Filmation also did Legends of the Superheroes with Adam West and Burt Ward and had all these different super... Frank Gorshin was in it, and they had like actors playing Green Lantern, Black Canary, The Flash. It's horrible, but Captain Marvel was part of that. It was a different actor. I don't know who played him exactly, but they still have the license, so they used him. And then, of course, the brand new Shazam movie that's coming out next year.
Zachary Levi.
Is that who plays him?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Give it a chance.
We'll see.
It seems a little goofy, but...
The trailer's goofy. The thing about trailers, they can do cuts of trailers that look funny, and then they can do cuts of trailers that look serious, right? Like, they decided to do a funny trailer for the first one. Yeah. So we'll see. I actually know in Lindsay, there's a Lindsay teenager named Ilan O'Driscoll who actually is in the film, and I know her mom. She plays the girlfriend of the bully that beats up Billy Batson at school, who is in the trailer. Well, she's not in the trailer, but the guy who plays her boyfriend. So, it's a very neat little local connection. Yeah. So, Jackson Bostwick in Peterborough. Very exciting.
Yeah.
I also know who the Oshawa guest is going to be a few months later, but I'm not. We can't say that yet. But it's pretty exciting, too. I'm totally geeking out in a very similar way as I am over Jackson Bostwick. Oh, my God, Jackson Bostwick! I'm so excited. I have never been this excited about somebody coming to Peterborough. Ever. Oh, maybe Davy Jones. That was more exciting. Never mind.
Bostwick's not coming now. He's like, whatever.
Yeah, anyways.
Hey, you might think it's great to compare me to Davy Jones, but you're actually just comparing yourself. See you next week.
Man, you've never seen the series and you got it.
You know I'm going to have to watch that now.
I can lend it to you. I have it on DVD.
Sure.
Yes.
I'll watch it for you.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome.
It's awfully some.
Oh, it's so fantastic. It's so fantastic. And then sometimes you see people in episodes that would become a big deal later, like Sid Haig, who was from House of a Thousand Corpses in an episode. And an older, fatter Danny Bonaducci after the Partridge Family shows up in one, you know? Yeah, because I'm rewatching it right now, ever since I found
out. Because you got so
excited. Well, I knew about a week ago this was happening. And I had lunch with David Wildstar when he was postering, and he told me. And as a lot of people know, I write for Quartha Now.
Yeah.
There will be a Jackson Bostwick interview in Quartha Now, so... We're in the middle of preparing that, love getting that together. So, cool. I gotta keep my cool, man. I gotta keep my cool. I can't say, "Come on, man, just give me some fatherly advice." Like it's the episode of, at the end.
In episode 7 of season 1, at 35 minutes in, you said the following, and he's just like, "I'm done."
You know that was the episode when Sally was trying to make liquid meth, and you convinced her that might not be a good idea. Hey, it's not a good idea of making liquid meth because when you make liquid meth, you're really just making yourself.
You're making liquid yourself.
Anyway,
see you next week. All right, so I guess if we can move on.
Let's move on.
To
move
something on. Something kind of cool.
Okay.
I've got this Kickstarter up here. It's The Burning Black, Legend of Black Shuck.
Okay.
That's written by Mark Allard Will, who is in the CCBA.
Yeah.
Great guy. And
do you know what it's about?
Art, yes.
The art. It's amazing. Look at that.
The art is from Ryan Howe, who's also in the CCBA.
Wow.
And this is actually, so this is an article I'm looking at from Bleeding Cool that is covering this Kickstarter.
Well, that
Kickstarter
is going to make it.
Yeah, the Kickstarter is on until the end of the month. And it's about the legend of the Black Shuck, which is a hellhound that inspired the Hound of the Baskervilles.
If I understand what the Shuck was, it's a black dog that appears in it appears all over the world, and it indicates that someone's going to die.
Death.
Yes.
But apparently, like, you know, there's a great myth behind the Black Shuck, that on August 4th, 1577, the Black Shuck attacked a church, and there's a picture with claw marks, burned, scorched claw marks, still in the church.
Wow.
And the art from the actual comic, they got a page up there, and it looks pretty good.
That's cool.
I backed it already.
Mm-hmm. There's a local, a well-known local man here in Peterborough named Ian Osborne, who is a sound engineer and very, very well-known in the local art scene. And he has a face tattoo of the Black Shuck.
Oh, yeah.
Right on the corner of his eye. Oh. And I knew him before he got it. And, I mean, you know, a face tattoo is pretty damn bold. Yes. And I remember one time how I learned about the Black Shuck was actually asking him, so what's the deal with the face tattoo, Ian?
What's the deal?
And he sat down because he says that he saw the Black Shuck when he was in his youth, when he was in, I think he said he was in Ireland. And he claims that he saw the Black Shuck, and he has it tattooed right on his, like, it's just a little tattoo, but like that big, but it's very cool, and it suits him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's a huge myth that, you know, it's even in Harry Potter stuff, like, they, you know, it's something that's been done. This is about the origins of the myth.
Very cool. You know what? And when does the Kickstarter close?
31st of August.
Fantastic.
End of this month,
so we got time to make that a thing.
Yeah,
that's great.
I thought I'd give them a shout out on our last show because the Kickstarter will be done.
Well,
before
I'm
we get
in.
Back. But yeah, I believe I pledged for a T-shirt because I've decided. So I'm a huge fan of original art, but that is very pricey. Mm-hmm. And so like I've been. Before, when I had, you know, a little more money to throw around, I was doing original art once. And then now I'm like, you know what? I still want something to something cool. So I'd like to do T-shirts.
Cool. That's a good idea.
So
yeah.
I got, I don't have it here, but I got a Kickstarter package in the mail from Ben Grisanti and Keith Gratchow.
Okay.
They did the Polybius Dreams or Polybius Dreams. I never get it right. Which is a cool horror comic based on the urban legend of a coin-operated game machine that causes people to kill themselves.
Oh, geez.
Back in the 80s.
Wow. Nice.
And I got an original page of art from that from Marvin Law, who did a pinup. So it was pretty cool.
Right. Very cool.
Nice surprise. I haven't read the comic yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love this idea. So yeah, I'm in. And I mean, I just love a good horror comic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still haven't read The Ice Cream Man. Don't hit me.
My God! Really?
I read issue one, maybe issue two.
Oh man, it's back being published. You know, they took a little break. It was supposed to be a miniseries, but now it's a regular series. And
yeah,
the last issue was okay. It was the weakest one so far, though.
Is it only up to issue five, or is there?
Yeah, I think it's only up to issue five.
Okay, so yeah. I just have to find
five
one
or
more.
Six.
Because I've been picking them up as I see them.
Man, like, they're good.
I know it'll be good. I just have to get around to reading them.
Fantastic series. So.
I actually have I have not read a comic in about 2.5 weeks.
I'm actually in a weird place right now. As I know, I cut out a lot of books out of my my reading, and I've actually read every single comic. I'm 100% caught up.
Nice
on everything that I bought. Now, I haven't been to the store in 3 or 4 weeks, and I'm going again next week to go pick up another month's comics. I haven't read anything really new to talk about. What I did read, though, that I picked up all in one lot, and I just loved. And I don't know if you guys read this. It's all. It was a 4-issue miniseries, and I think the trade's going to be coming out really soon. And the guys at Fan Expo, Jeff Lemire's Dr. Star.
Yeah.
And it's a spinoff from Black Hammer. Mm-hmm. But you don't need to read Black Hammer to read it. It takes place in the Black Hammer universe. So you can read it as its own entity. It's kind of cool if you know the Black Hammer stuff, because it does, some of the characters do appear in it, but you don't need to. It's a standalone 4-issue series. And it's, the plot's not completely original. I actually think the thing I read in the basic plot of the series, I read that story before in an old EC science fiction comic. It's basically about this guy, and you can really see elements of the character Starman, the original Golden Age Starman, in it. And he harnesses the power of the star, and he goes to a planet. And when he's at the planet, he saves, like, this alien civilization by, I don't know, but he goes into, like, a black hole. And when he comes back, time has changed. And he left behind a son, a wife and a small son. When he comes back now, his wife is elderly, and his son is, you know, in his 30s and married and has kids of his own. And they're like, you know, you abandoned us, but he has not. It's been like a month, right, you know, for him. And it's about dealing with that lost time. It has elements of, and also not just the lost time, but the love of, you know, his son doesn't want to have anything to do with him. And it's revealed in the first issue, so it's not really a spoiler. His son's dying of cancer. Hmm. So it's him trying to reconcile that missing time and reconcile with his son, but, you know, through that missing time. And there's a huge homage to the Green Lantern Corps. And so it's not an original story. As I said, it's very EC, but it's the human drama that they put into this story. That is what makes it so original, because it's so emotional. And it's so character-based. And it's a beautiful, beautiful superhero story that is just told on another level. And I know the trade's coming out soon. I read it as one long, you know, I bought all 4 issues and read it in one bulk. And I was so moved by this beautiful story. And especially if you like Green Lantern, like, anybody who's a fan of the Green Lanterns will love it, because the Green Lantern homage is pretty massive, and it's so delightful.
Speaking of Jeff Lemire, I made a point of going through my boxes and pulling out all the Descenders, the issues that I haven't read yet. I think there's about 8 so I just sat down and read, and I guess it was the last issue too. I think there's another storyline coming, but it was great. I haven't read much, so it's not like I just picked on Descenders. It just happened to pile up. But
Jeff Lemire is interesting, because sometimes he hits the mark so huge, and then sometimes he misses it by a mile.
Well, the artwork is very different in Descenders. It's very minimal.
Okay.
Right? Like, the people are there, but really anything in the background is either just white or very simple. Like, it's very different.
Did he draw it?
No.
Okay, because his art style can be an acquired taste.
I don't think
he's doing Royal City right now, which I'm loving too. Royal City, again, another Jeff Lemire sure knows how to write emotions, man. Because Royal City is a heartbreak story every issue.
Dustin Guyon, the Guyon.
I like his art in general. Like, he did some Batman stuff back, like, 5 or 6 years ago that I thought was really good.
But I don't remember being, like, what it is in Descenders.
Maybe it's a stylistic choice for that specific comic.
Well, maybe you think in space, nothingness, maybe that kind of... It was a good read.
Did I ever tell you the story? I used to take, back when you could get free sketches from artists or pay $5.
Yeah.
Like, way long time ago. We're talking going back 1920. I went to my first Fan Expo 19 years ago.
Yeah.
So we're talking about 17 years ago. You could go and meet these guys, and they'd just draw you a picture. And it was a whole different world. And I used to take sketch pads, and I would go to all these artists, and I'd get them to draw the Black Canary for me. Right. And if you've been to my home, you'll see I have all this amazing Black Canary art from that era. And one time, like about 3 years ago or so, I found some old sketch pads, and I was going to throw them out, but I thought, you know, I should see if there's anything in these. And in one of the sketch pads, I found one drawing, and it was a Jeff Lemire original Black Canary sketch that I had obviously looked at it and thought, what in the hell is this crap? And that's why I didn't do anything with it. Yeah. And it looks like, he has that style where his lines will go. It looks like she's been punched in the side of the face, and it's like has a huge indent. Yeah. And I can see, and her hair is all stringy and straw-like, and I could see 20 years ago, or 18, I don't know. I don't remember meeting him. I don't remember getting this thing. But I remember, but now looking at it, like it was so his style. And then, of course, he signed it. It's Jeff Lemire. And I could see how 18 years ago I would have looked at that and hated it.
Yeah.
And now I look at it and I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. Yeah. And I own it. Like, where did this come from? I almost recycled this. So it hangs in my bedroom at home, my Jeff Lemire Black Canary sketch.
Do you think Jeff Lemire is currently the greatest Canadian comic book writer? Can you think of anybody better currently?
He's got a lot of stuff on the
He has a lot of projects that, you know, are doing well.
Mm-hmm. You know, as I said, sometimes he just knocks it out of the park, man. Like, Black Hammer is so brilliant. And Royal City is so brilliant. But then there was that Justice League Canada, which was terrible.
You also have to think, like, that's... He's got editorial on that.
Oh, okay.
Right? Like, because basically you're saying the stuff where he gets to choose is all great.
Oh, it's amazing.
But when he writes for DC, it's not great.
Because Descenders is Image.
Oh, is it? Yeah, yeah. I haven't read that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Sweet Tooth. I never read Sweet Tooth. That was kind of the one that...
That broke him out.
And I've never read it. And apparently it's supposed to be pretty brilliant.
I've got a few issues, but I haven't ever... dove into them yet.
Yeah. I'm looking forward. I'm going to sometime in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to get finally. I did meet Jeff Lemire at 2 years ago at TCAF. And by the time I got to him, all the Black Hammer trades were all sold. And he sold me some science fiction book, which I did not like at all. It was from Dark Horse. And a reason he had it was because nobody bought it.
Nobody wanted
it. But I'm going to get a Black Hammer trade and get him to sign it because. To me, that's just, it's one of the,
I've read part of Black Hammer. I bought a bunch of issues when you guys were like talking about how great it was. Mm. And I read the first issue and just like, it didn't do anything for me at the time because like, I probably like had a headache or I was reading it like while I had the TV on or something. Yeah. And then I bought it. They had a digital sale on Comixology a few weeks ago, and I picked up the first trade for like $3, and I read like the first three issues, and then I stopped myself because I was like, I'm just flying through this, and I wanted to actually like savor it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like it's whatever stopped me the first time. The second time I read it, the first issue, I was like, no, that's good.
Yeah.
And I just went into the rest, and it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the year, and it won that year. It won Best New Series for the Eisner Awards for Best New Series. Yeah. Like, it's such a good book. And I think it's the best superhero book. I think Black Hammer is, without a doubt, the best superhero book currently being written.
I have to read it because I haven't read it.
Yeah. That's one. And I think, and I've actually told people that are out of comics now, but love comics, that have like a real strong sense of love for comics, but have gotten out of it because of all the nonsense that's been going on. Mm-hmm. I've told them this is the book you should be reading because it's one that you'll appreciate. The whole thing was inspired by the New 52 and all of that crap.
Right.
I don't know if you were able to see the inspiration for the New 52.
Not specifically yet.
Well, basically what it is like these characters that are trapped in their own pocket dimension. They're basically the characters of the New 52.
Yeah.
They're homages to characters that the New 52 either made obsolete or destroyed. You know, what happens when characters are now no longer part of that universe.
Right.
Now, they have evolved. The series evolved way past that inspiration now.
Yeah.
But that was the original. The original inspiration was, the nonsense behind reboots and all that kind of stuff. And it was like, okay, so these are characters that aren't part of this dimension. Well, what happens to them? where they trapped. And
sounds cool.
Yeah, it is. It's something else. And it just plays homage to so many different eras and styles of comics. One of my favorite stories was a Jack Kirby-esque issue, which they drew it like Kirby. And they had, like, the whole thing. Like, there was, like, there was homages to the Inhumans and the Fantastic Four and the New Gods. And and it was just, I think that was actually the origin of Black Hammer. Wow. And they did this whole Kirby universe tribute. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah. So we should mention the big news from Stan Lee.
I don't know the news from Stan Lee.
That he's not doing public signings anymore.
He's done.
Oh, he's done, eh?
But, like, he had already said he wasn't going to do, like, come to Canada.
And he
anymore.
Said he wasn't doing New York anymore. Yeah. Like, he was, this has been coming for a while. When did this finally get announced?
Like last week?
Man, he's old and he's tired and he's had a bad year.
Yes.
So, you can't blame him.
Yeah.
Last time I saw Stan Lee in public was at Fan Expo about 4 or 5 years ago, and he just seemed so grumpy. He just seemed tired.
I did the Stan Lee experience, and I got my photo with him and autograph. It was awesome.
Yeah, I've met him personally. I've shaken his hand. I've talked to him, and I thought he was amazing. But when I saw him in a panel, he was just like, he just seemed tired.
Yeah.
Tired and cynical. Huh. You know, it's time for him to have a rest, man. Yeah. Like, you know... He just sit back, kick back, watch some Netflix, and eat some cookies.
That's right.
Right.
Do some more cameos on Big Bang Theory. Sorry.
He's apparently did. Oh, you saw the Teen Titans on the movies. Apparently, he's in that.
Yeah. He has the greatest cameo of his life in that.
What is it? Tell us about it.
I was talking about it last time on the show, but he basically walks behind them while they're talking about, like, people doing cameos, because the whole movie is about the Teen Titans making a movie.
Yeah.
And then when nobody's paying attention to him, he gets closer and closer to the camera until he's, like, right in front of the camera. And he's like, oh, I'm Stan Lee, and this is one of my famous cameos. And then they do a whole callback later where he appears again for another cameo later. So, like, I was dying in the theater, like, just laughing because this was the greatest cameo ever.
My favorite Stan Lee cameo to date, I haven't seen this yet, is I hated the movie, but I loved the cameo. Was it in Thor Ragnarok, where he's on the moon talking to the Watchers?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was so. And he's telling them stories, and it's just like literally like, yeah. And then in an Amazing Fantasy number 15, I don't know what he's talking about, but it's him literally writing Marvel comics to the Watchers.
The Mallrats cameo was pretty good.
That's a long time ago, but that was his first film. That was before the whole Marvel universe.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, very cool.
Yep. Yeah. So yesterday, if we have time,
I watched
Justice League Dark, the animated
I saw it. I almost bought it a few weeks ago. Good?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. So I was like, why not watching this? So it was good.
Was it?
I mean, I didn't look it up, but I'm fairly certain it's the actor that plays Constantine on the show.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was his voice. But
what I'm working through right now, and it is superhero related, is I thought it was coming out on TV, but I guess I totally missed it. And it's gone right, and it was on TV. Now it's the whole series on DVD. Is the Big Hero 6 animated series?
Okay.
I feel like we just talked about that coming to TV.
Yeah, it's out on DVD.
Okay.
I'm working through it right now. It's only 8 episodes, but the first episode is an extra long one because it's this sort of the sequel to the movie, like what happens after the movie. Right. And it's all in even though they're standalone episodes, they make a bigger story.
Yeah.
It took me a little while to get used to the new animation, but it's clever, it's funny, it's everything I loved about the original movie. A little less intense, but I love it. I love reuniting with these characters. Cool. So,
and I watched something too, not superhero related explicitly, but I finally watched The Last Jedi on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I don't know what everybody's complaining about. It was fine.
I liked it.
Well, yeah.
Hey, before you bitch about a movie, just remember you're really bitching about yourself. See you next week.
Hey. That's all the time we've got for this episode of Hey Kids Comics. But you can check us out on Google Play or iTunes. Or we won't check you out. I don't know. See you next week. Google Play or iTunes.
Comics radio show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics radio show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?